Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I believe that there's someone listening in today for the very first time. And perhaps you think that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Ah, listen, my friend. God has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Yes, perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the crosswork of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, friend, if this is the very first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel of the grace of God. If so, my friend, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's Word. In Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And furthermore, if you ever expect to be saved and born again, you'll have to listen and believe God's Word. I read over in John chapter 3 and verse 3 where Jesus said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now perhaps you're saying, well, how can I be born again? Well, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we're told that we're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that simply means that a person, in order to be born again, must believe the Word of God that says that they're a sinner. They must believe the same Word of God that tells them they can do absolutely nothing to save their own soul. And they must believe the Word of God that says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven, then and then alone are you born again into God's family. Let's open the broadcast today with perhaps the best known hymn of all time, The Old Rugged Cross. I, for one, sure thank God today for the old rugged cross. There are a lot of people today, and perhaps there are some listening in, and you don't like to hear about Calvary. You don't like to hear about the old rugged cross on which the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And that's what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee for the old rugged cross. And we thank thee, our God, for the one who hung upon that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. And those of us who are saved today, we thank thee for that precious blood that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, his back, and his riven side. For it was the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that has cleansed us from all sin. Father, we would pray thy blessing upon thy word today. Wherever Christ is being uplifted to the gaze of those who are lost and perishing, wherever his claims as the only Savior of sinners is being presented worldwide, we would claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Bless thy word, honor fresh thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now before getting into the message today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory. And those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using two portions of the Word of God, both of them found in the book of Acts. The first, Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at verse 24. Acts 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Now for our second scripture, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and we'll begin reading at verse 27. Here we find the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. Acts 26 and verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And what does the Apostle Paul say? And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to bring to your attention two incidents revealed by the Holy Spirit of God which show us not only the enmity of the human heart, but also its hardness. Yes, we've just read about two men who were privileged to hear the gospel of God's grace, two men who were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and two men who were almost saved, but completely lost. And friends, I believe that God has left these two incidents on record so that we can know how close people can come to being saved and yet be eternally lost. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone out in Radio Land today, and you too have been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. You too have spent restless nights tossing on your bed and unable to sleep because you were afraid of dying, or because you realized that the Lord could come at any moment and you're not saved, therefore you'd be left behind. Well, friend, if you've been under conviction of sin in the past, then I trust that God's Holy Spirit has not left you. You know, we read back in Genesis 6 and verse 3 where God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." No, God may plead for your soul today, my friend, but He may never plead again. And friend, what if God should take you at your word? When you say no to God, what if He should say, "All right, I've given you a chance to accept my Son as your Savior, and you've refused my offer of salvation, but I won't bother you anymore. I'm not going to force you to trust Christ as your Savior. I'll just stop my Holy Spirit from convicting you of your need for Jesus Christ." Then what, sinner friend? Where would your soul be when you die? That's right. Your soul would drop into hell, there to weep and wail throughout the endless ages of all eternity. So please, my friend, while God's Holy Spirit strives for your soul, please give heed to God's word and give very serious thought to your soul's eternal destiny. Consider what it would mean to die unsaved. Yes, and some of you parents who are unsaved, friend, you realize that you are responsible for your unsaved children. Yes, if you don't get saved, then the likelihood is that they'll never be saved either. And both of you, yes, you and the children, will spend eternity weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. You know, I often think of that scripture back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, God says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed," or your offspring, your children, "may live." Well, now then, let's take a look at our first text for today, Acts chapter 24. In verses 24 and 25, you recall where we were reading how the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel to Governor Felix. And we're told that the Holy Spirit was having such an effect upon Felix that he actually trembled. Yes, the power of God's Holy Spirit was so great that Governor Felix literally trembled at the thought of meeting God in all of his sin. Would that some of you listening in today who are listening, yes, perhaps for the last time, would that you too would likewise respond to the preaching of the gospel just as this man Governor Felix did. Unfortunately, some of you within the sound of my voice today are gospel hardened. You've heard the gospel hundreds of times, and you could preach it as well as anyone else, but you yourself have never responded favorably to the pleadings of God's Holy Spirit. Sinner friend, you've been basking in the sunshine of God's grace for many, many years, and one of these days, perhaps today, you'll be cut down out of time, and off you'll go into eternity without a Savior. Yes, you may have been convicted of sin, and you may have even trembled like Governor Felix, but that's as far as it went. You refused to take the simple step of faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're a procrastinator. You know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on Calvary's cross. You know that you can't do a thing to save your own soul. You know that if you died right now, your soul would drop into hell. And yet, my friend, and yet you have the boldness to tell God and His Holy Spirit, either audibly or inaudibly, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, sinner friend, you may be like Governor Felix in our text. You may never have a more convenient time to get saved. Over in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, we're told, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Back in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God says, "Come now," not tomorrow, "come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Ah, my friend, don't be foolish. Don't let the devil rob you of eternal life. Don't let him deprive you of fellowship with God and the glories of heaven. No, don't let the devil tell you that there's plenty of time to get saved. Remember this, friend. There are probably millions of souls down in hell right now who had expected to get saved someday. Sinner friend, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, the road called someday leads to Never Never Land. A number of years ago, I was visiting from room to room in the Mercy Hospital in Pittsburgh, and one of the patients I called on daily was a woman about 36 years of age who had suffered a cerebral hemorrhage. The first time I spoke to her, she told me that she was an elder in her Presbyterian church, and her husband taught Sunday school in the same church. I then asked her if she had ever been born again, and she told me quite frankly that she didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I went in to see that woman every day, and sometimes twice a day, and every time I went in to see her, she would ask me to pray for her and to give her a little gospel sermon before I left. Friends, this dear woman, this wife and mother, realized that she needed a Savior, but she kept putting it off until one day, as she was about ready to leave the hospital, she had another hemorrhage, and she dropped over dead in a moment of time. Friends, the last scripture verse I quoted to that poor soul was Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Listen to this. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, how foolish it is for people to procrastinate with their most precious possession, their never-dying soul. Friend, as you listen to this message in the comfort of your home, institution, or automobile today, let me ask you, are you saved or are you lost? Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? Friend, are you on your way to heaven or are you still on the road to hell? Well, only you, the devil, and God know the answers to those questions. Salvation is a personal matter, and we are all accountable to God as individuals. But friend, I can tell you this much. If you've never been convicted of your need for a Savior, then you can't possibly be saved. No, if you've never realized that it was your sins that nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, then you're still in your sins, and you're only a heartbeat from the place of eternal torment. On the other hand, the mere fact that you have been convicted of sin doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Christian either. Oh, no. Conviction and conversion are not synonymous terms. True, there can be no conversion without conviction, but there can be conviction without conversion. That's what we have here in our text for today. Governor Felix was convicted, but he was never converted. He wanted to pick his own time to get saved. Listen, sinner friend, you'll either get saved in God's time or you'll not get saved at all. And that's the reason it's so foolish to put it off. Know if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and soul today, please don't be like Governor Felix. And don't be like the Greeks on Mars Hill over in Acts chapter 17 either. You know, they too heard Paul preaching the gospel, and we're told in verse 32 that some mocked. And others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Well, friends, we never read where they ever heard the gospel again. In that same Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30 we read that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Yes, throughout the Word of God, the day of salvation is now. Never tomorrow or next month or next year. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, God warns, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now in the time remaining, let's take a brief look at our second text for today, because here in Acts chapter 26 and in verses 27 to 29, we read of another person who was almost saved but completely lost. Again, the Apostle Paul is preaching to another dignitary. This time it's King Agrippa. And again, the Holy Spirit of God is doing His work in the heart of the king. But what is the king's response? "Almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Oh, how sad these words are. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friend, is that the language of your heart today? Are you almost persuaded to trust Christ? Well, friend, if you are, remember that almost will not avail. Almost means but to fail. Sad, sad will be your bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Friend, I'm here with the gospel of God's grace today, and it's my duty as a preacher of the gospel to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Yes, with the help of God, I'm trying to persuade you to accept God's Son as your Savior while you still have a chance, while you're still living in the day of grace. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, this same apostle Paul declared, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Sinner friend, are you going to be persuaded to accept Jesus Christ today? Or are you going to be like King Agrippa, almost persuaded? Well, the decision is entirely up to you, my friend. And whether you realize it or not, you are making your decision even now. On one hand, you can have joy, peace, and eternal life just through simple faith in God's Son as your Savior. And on the other hand, if you reject the love and the mercy and the grace of God, you will be banished from God's presence forever, and that means hell and the lake of fire. Friend, why not come to Jesus Christ right now? Why not admit that you're a lost and hell-bound sinner in the sight of a holy God? Yes, you can become a child of God this very hour if you'll place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And friend, if you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, then tell me, friend, in what or in whom are you depending? Sinner friend, salvation is simply taking God at His word. He says that if you'll admit your need for a Savior and then accept His Son as your Savior, then you'll be saved. You'll be born again into God's family. That's all there is to it, my friend. And there's nothing need be added to the value and virtue of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, over in 1 John 1 and 7 we read that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And friend, if you'll believe that with all your heart and repent of your sin, you too will have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll have God as your Father and heaven as your home. Yes, whoever you are and wherever you may be listening to my voice today, I plead with you in love for your soul to acknowledge your need of Christ and accept Him as your Savior and your Lord. And remember this, friend, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, whether you realize it or not, you're shaking your fist in the face of a holy God in whose hand your very breath is, and you're calling God a liar. You say, "I wouldn't do that." Friend, that's what you're going to do if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. I read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Friend, don't call God a liar today, because God has told us the truth. In love for your soul, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary. And all you have to do to have eternal life is to believe that with all your heart. Friend, whoever you are and wherever you may be listening to my voice today, I tell you in love for your soul and in view of eternity that if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. Yes, friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and if you do, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen.
Almost persuaded now to persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go your way, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call." Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, that bitter wail, almost but lost. Almost but lost.
Well, friend, I hope there's no one listening to my voice today who is almost saved and yet will be eternally lost. Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.